Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, happy holidays, everybody. It is Christmas Eve. We are just chilling out for the next 4 hours. My name is Andy Baskin. His name is Dan Menigan. Jeff has the day off. And Dan, happy holidays to you. How are you?
Very happy holidays to you as well. I'm doing well, buddy. I'm doing real well.
I had a little sneak peek there. I had to jump on the morning show. I didn't realize that was going to happen. Do you really think I would leave my kids at home?
Let's see. I got 4 hours of radio ahead
yeah.
of me.
Yeah.
And at least hopefully a few months of shows
as the home alone scenario
home because employment is good.
Yeah.
I don't think you would.
I would never.
I think
never.
Now, I think you would get to like maybe the end of the street and look back and go, oh, crud, and then have to turn around and come back. But I don't think you'd go much farther.
No, I'll be honest with you. We run some PSA spots where, you know, people are like, hey, make sure you check that you didn't leave your kid in the car during the summer and stuff. Or during the winter. That's scary. I think every
that's
parent.
That's really scary.
It's amazing. Like, once you have kids, and it's been, you know, 18 years now since we've had our last one, that it's just, you realize, like, when you're coming home from the hospital after you have that first kid, that there's, like, speed limits and stop signs and things that you never noticed before. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. And you're like, hey, that's not an optional stop sign, is it?
Right. So I probably should not roll.
And then
this.
you suddenly start getting mad at other drivers. Like, I don't know that I ever got mad at other drivers while I was driving before we had kids. And then all of a sudden it was like, whoa. And then all of a sudden, so you realize, I think once you become a parent, and then the holidays, like I started thinking about this the other day, because when the kids were little, man, my wife and I would stay up all night on Christmas Eve or the night before Christmas Eve putting toys together. Like, that was probably the greatest gift ever, was to not have to put toys together the night before. Like, I remember putting together like Lego tables and dollhouses and all this stuff. And you're just like, and when you're working and you're working nights, especially at the time when I was working nights, it was just like, you didn't have enough time to do it. So you started at midnight and you were hopefully done by 3-4 in the morning.
Good for you. Good for you for doing that one. I wonder, I never asked my folks if they did anything like that. I'm not 100% sure. I got to check. My guess is they did. You know, nothing really stand. I think they put bikes together and all that kind of stuff in between.
I did bikes one year. I remember doing that.
Yeah,
I remember doing
bicycles as well. I've done that for the niece and the nephew where I've had to go build bicycles for them.
All right, this is probably, I'm going behind the scenes here. This is one of the most bizarre shows we've ever done. Because Dan sits in a glass room behind me. Or it's off on the side, and that's the producer's room.
I am in a room that would make a college dorm room feel actually roomy.
Oh my, yes,
that's
for sure.
The way I would describe this. This thing, I would compare it to maybe about a half bath.
Right.
And even that, probably the half bath might have a little bit more room than the room I'm in.
All right, so somehow or some way, we got to get more light in that room, because all I see is me talking back at me. You know, remember you'd walk through like a department store or something, they've had those two-way mirrors. And you're like, I wonder if someone's watching me right now. That I am now literally watching myself twice over in the window. And I can, but like, Dan, I can't even see you.
Are we doing Mel Brooks and Spaceballs with Dark Helmet on there?
Yeah.
This don't have that thing down in front of me. I don't know if you're making faces at me.
It is unbelievably goofy. Like, I can't see in there to see. I almost want to do the show on you. There we go. Much better.
Okay,
now I can see.
The problem is, as well, is the this room is too small for the chair that's in it as well. So it's kind of like this balancing act.
Okay.
And the fact that I stand on top of it,
I just think you need more light in that room. That room doesn't have a lot of light in it. So I know that's just how it is. We've got things going on in the show today. We're actually going to talk about sports despite the fact that we're 5.5 minutes into the show and I haven't said a word about anything. Cavaliers, nice job last night. Hey, way better. He turned the light on. Now I get it.
Bruh.
Nice job out of the Cavaliers.
Back to Spaceballs,
Yeah, back to Spaceballs. No, so we'll talk a little bit about the Cavs today. Tim May is going to join us a little bit later on the show. I can't wait to talk about college football with him. Chris Rose, we're also looking for another college football guest that we were on standby for. It'll be a surprise guest if we get him on the air. But I think yesterday there was some really interesting stuff going on at the station with Albert Breer on the show, on the afternoon drive.
Absolutely. So Albert Breer hopped on the afternoon show, and you know, we've all been kind of kicking around the same general thoughts. What does the coaching staff look like? What does the front office look like? What does the roster construction look like? But Albert Breer put up another thought that hadn't totally crossed my mind quite yet.
I mean, there's only 32, right? Like, so like, there's that piece of it. They don't have a quarterback, a long-term answer quarterback right now. So that might put them behind, you know, a team like the Giants, a team like the Titans, depending on what you think of Dart or Ward. But there is young talent on hand now, and you do have two first-round picks. So I think there is the opportunity, if you're a young coach, to go in there and sort of create your own thing. You know, like, you're not inheriting a ton of pieces that you can't do anything with. For me, if I was a candidate, I would look at it and I'd say a really good class going into its second year, two first-round picks, a couple of veteran star players, ownership that's willing to spend and do what it takes to win, like, despite, you know, things having gone sideways over the course of their ownership. And so from there, it would kind of come down to, am I comfortable with Andrew Berry? And am I comfortable with the structure that they're setting up? Can I bring in somebody on the personnel side that has the same vision as me? I think those would all be questions that you'd be asking if you were a coach looking at that job and you had options maybe other places.
Is it a sexy job in the NFL? Let's start there.
Maybe I'm too close to everything and I'm not seeing the forest through the trees. Staring at it from this angle, with the fact that I am anchored with a Deshaun Watson contract, I have an entire offensive line I got to rebuild. I've got young quarterbacks who are somewhat unproven.
Again, we're talking about the head coaching position, not the general manager
right,
position.
But,
okay, just want to make sure.
But we know this as a coach, you look at all these things, and especially as a big time coach, the last thing these guys want to do is have to come in and anchor the rebuild. They want to come in and they want to win. And so if you want to come in and win, there has to be a foundation here to do that. Now, you could call the defense a foundation, but on the offensive side of the ball, if you're going to bring in an offensive head coach, I mean, what, you're looking at probably 2 years before you can get this offense up and cooking?
At least.
So
to a consistent level where you think you could win in the playoffs, right? Not just get me to the playoffs. Get to the playoffs and actually win a game.
Right.
Yeah.
Like next year, your whole goal would be to kind of be just a frisky team that gives people a hard time when they come into your building. And then when you go over there, you kind of give them a hard time and your offense can hang a little bit and maybe you come up short. You know, the Buffalo game being the standard of what next year would probably look like for that head coach. And I don't know how close they are to being in that place. You still need a wide receiver one. You still need a couple tackles. You need a guard. I mean, do you see this job as being desirable, or am I just not seeing the forest through the trees?
I just don't see it as being desirable if you were a veteran head coach that was wanted. Like, if we were a year removed from Vrabel, right, and Vrabel was an option, you know, other than the fact that we all think that Mike Vrabel would want it a little bit because he's from here, but or maybe because he wanted a job at the point. I don't know. This job does not. There's been so much chaos in the organization and trying to figure out how they want to get to, and whether you want to say it was. I'm still a little dumbfounded by Super Bowl window one and Super Bowl window two that Mary Kay talks about, and she did it again yesterday. And at least she explained it yesterday, because I didn't get it the first time she was talking about it. That Super Bowl window one was complete except for the quarterback, and that's a big incomplete then. And that they failed on Deshaun Watson. That didn't work. So that now that they're in the second window where they were able to go out and have a really good draft last year, but, you know, it's one draft. And I think they have to – I just don't know. It's patience versus what the NFL actually is. Mm-hmm. But the organization itself, and this dates back to before the Haslams, just never has had patience. And, you know, I give the Haslams credit, because in the beginning they were just on fire with firings. So like, how many guys are we going to coach? Are we going to pay to coach to not coach our team? Sorry. That, you know, you put yourself in that spot, and then they slowed things down tremendously slowed things down with Kevin and with Andrew. And now they're at a critical point where their patience is 100% being tested by what they're going to do in the fact that they move forward. I am not going to be surprised if they stay status quo going into next year.
I would not be surprised if they went status quo as well.
But I'm also not going to be surprised if Kevin gets let go at the end of the year too, because unfortunately it's the game.
You know what? I would be surprised
if they're both back. Or
I would be surprised if they're both back. The Stefanski problem. I think the guy can coach. I think he's an intelligent football mind. I think he knows what he is doing. I don't think the guy is a colossal dum-dum, though you may disagree with him on a couple fourth down calls and two-point conversions and that kind of stuff.
Name me a coach that hasn't driven you crazy at some point. I mean, every coach does something that you don't agree with. You have a mindset and you have a preconceived notion that you should go for it on fourth and one, or you should run a trick play here, or... You know, the definition of a great coach, I think, sometimes is just all based on luck.
I'm not trying.
Because their plays are executed the way they want them to. How often does a play actually work?
I'm not trying to be a jerk. We can call my grandfather right now, and he would go off on Vince Lombardi for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I can't believe any ice ball. They ran sweep right when they should have ran sweep left. What the hell? Should have pulled Jerry Kramer. I don't know what the hell he's doing out there. So you would hear it from all of them. Like, even the best coaches ever, their fans are sitting there complaining about him. And complaining about play calls and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's the name of the game. And especially now that everybody has Madden at their fingertips and are calling timeouts and are acting like the pseudo head coach. Well, it's a different animal when you're standing on the sideline than it is when you're holding an Xbox controller. You know, it's a completely different story when you have to watch this play get executed to the best degree when you're holding a PlayStation controller and could go, oh, wide receiver one ran the wrong route. Okay, let's throw it over here. Because I got all 22 film. It looks a lot better and is a lot easier when you're holding a video game controller.
Yeah, I was it yesterday that Tom said he was 50-50 on these guys coming back?
Yes.
I would say the same thing. Because I just don't know what the front office is going to do. I don't know what ownership really wants to do here. And in most places, I think we can get a good feel for what could happen based on history and where you're going with this thing. When Jimmy Haslam said swing and a miss in the beginning of the year on Deshaun Watson, I think the expectations were low. But he also said three wins isn't going to hack it. So they need to. If they lose the next two games, you're looking at a change. You are. Kevin's going to land somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And you may be happy that he's gone. You may say to yourself, oh, look at this. Kevin's not with another team and they're having success. Why couldn't he do that here? Well, I mean, look at the offensive line. What, 13 different looks this year?
The amount of quarterbacks that have rolled in there. Yeah. I mean, it's all, there are so many variables that have taken place with the Cleveland Browns over the last 3 years that it's insane. I mean, it's just insane.
I just don't, and do it, you know, when I go back and think about the Browns going through coaching searches, right? And how the Haslams have gone through this. I mean, you remember when they went through it with Lombardi and Banner? And how many different coaching candidates got rolled in here? And I wonder how many of those guys said no to the Browns, you know, and then you end up with Mike Pettine, which I like Mike. I thought Mike did a decent job.
Yeah.
I also liked Pat Shurmur before that. So I just like, but just because you like them doesn't mean that they're good coaches, doesn't mean that they're going to have success. And that you're also hoping that it's a likable coach who can figure out the Rubik's Cube, right? That can make all the sides one color. When it's just, I just think it's really difficult. And what Florio said a couple of weeks ago on our show, Mike Florio, just the whole notion of, you do realize 31 teams are not having a parade this year. And it's not easy to do this. And it's just, we see other teams in the NFL have at least limited success.
Right.
And I think it's hard to sit here in Cleveland and say, be patient.
Well, and not only that side of it, you've seen teams go up and then go back down and then come back up.
Yeah.
I mean, you watched the Patriots dynasty with Belichick and Brady, and now you're watching, you know, it find its way back up with Drake May and Mike Vrabel. That's the stuff that's like, okay, you need to.
Can you imagine if they win the whole thing this year?
It'd be insanity.
If the Patriots win the whole thing,
it would be insanity.
Man.
If they did it again. I mean, that's the part of this that is so puzzling to everyone, is the fact that, my word, you've watched the Patriots go down or go up, down, and back up before you even had your 2 to 3 year stretch of making the playoffs.
You didn't even have time to go up and go to the bathroom. right? They didn't. They just, I'll be right back. It's basically what they said.
And this league is built to turn these things around quickly. And yet, for some reason, it has not happened here.
I don't know. Well, we'll play it out. Let's talk about it. Do you think that this job would be coveted? Other than the fact, it's easy to get on and say, oh, well, there's only 32 of these jobs. But do you really think the Browns head coaching job right now is something that if there was a really hot candidate that everybody want and you knew you could get instant success from, do you think they would actually want this job, knowing that there are going to be other openings in the NFL? So we'll talk about that. I also want to hear a little bit more about what Albert Breer had to say yesterday, because, man, he dropped a bunch of nuggets out there about things that could be happening to the Browns and are currently happening to the Browns. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. Tim May coming up at noon. Chris Rose at 1 o'clock.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan is in for Jeff today, talking a little bit about the Browns, obviously. What's going on with the team? Albert Breer was on yesterday on the Afternoon Drive show, and he dropped all kinds of nuggets of wisdom, plus some, you know, the other talk about the Browns, about possible quarterbacks. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the show. Cavaliers, feels like things are starting to go in the right direction, as I've said a million times before, and I know Jeff doesn't like when I say this, so Dan does. I don't know, Dan, how you feel about this, but the NBA season starts tomorrow. Can we be honest, please? Can we please be honest about it?
I will be the first to tell you that the NBA season is too long. I will agree with you in that regard.
All right, so
I always have an eye on such things.
And do you believe the NBA season starts tomorrow?
No. I think it started before then, but it's just too long.
I don't know. I maybe my level of interest, I care more. Now, last year was unique because they had such a great start. The Cavs did. But I just kind of watch. I go along. I get frustrated a little bit when I watch all these. Although, last night, they did what I've been asking them to do for the last couple of weeks. Stop just chucking up threes left and right.
Hmm?
They scored some points in the paint last night. Man, that was just fantastic. It was a fantastic thing to watch. I enjoyed watching some of that yesterday. So we'll talk more about the Cavs coming up and a couple of holiday things going on. Did you finish your shopping, by the way? I never got to finish that.
I have two stops that I got to do when I get out of here to a couple restaurants in the area, and then after that, I'm done. So outside of just the two stops, I'm okay.
Yeah, I am feeling the heat right now because I have a ton of stuff. I basically have about 2.5 hours to get the last of everything done the beginning of everything done in some situations. And it's not for, you know, lack of caring or not for a lack of planning. I just have not had time to do any of this stuff.
You didn't do it all at the Buc-ee's on the way back from Nashville?
Oh, man.
Should have done it all at the Buc-ee's.
Now, I will tell you this. I did get some stuff at Buc-ee's.
Okay, perfect.
That will be open tomorrow.
That's perfect.
Oh, that place is unbelievable.
It's a Walmart hooked into a gas station.
But it's not. Because I looked around to see what they sell in there, and I was like, oh, this isn't really. I thought about that too. That it was just like a Walmart. First of all, they must have at least 70 pumps. We were at the one pretty close to Bowling Green, Kentucky, between Bowling Green, Kentucky, and Nashville, and we stopped there twice. Last week, on the way down and on the way back.
Well, everybody can eat. There's enough room for everybody to get off the bus.
So, did you get the brisket sandwich when you went in there?
I did not.
It was good. It was good. It was a real. I thought it was good, but I just was like, I mean, do you ever think about you're going out? Oh, it's going a long road trip. Let's stop and eat at the gas station. Like that to me, that doesn't. It doesn't make sense at some points.
The only time with that stuff I'd run into it was. So I'll get hooked on the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives marathon.
Yeah.
When those hit the Food Network.
Yeah.
And you start seeing some of those like gas station restaurants that they've got on there, and you're like, oh, okay. I could good stop stuff. There and eat there.
I just don't get it. Like, I don't, I walked in there and I was like, wow, this is legit. I must have said it 10 times. And maybe it was because, and I'm going to be honest, because the bathrooms were big and clean and unbelievably efficient. Like, you can't tell me, does it get any smarter than having a, you know, the lighting's, I don't know. Did you use the restroom when you went in there? I mean, I hate to talk about this, but when you went to Bucky's, did you use the restroom?
No, I haven't. I
all right. So you know how when you park at the airport?
Yeah.
And they've got the green and the red lights over the spots if they're open. You know what I'm talking about?
See, now that's smart.
Okay, well, that's here.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying, at the airport here, if you go into the main...
We've had the technology on that for porta-johns forever.
Dude, they have the red and green light over the bathroom.
Over the stall. It's tremendous.
Like, how genius is that?
It's brilliant.
You know, it's even smarter than the little thing that says occupied, not occupied. When
right. I said, we've had this technology on porta-potties.
I don't understand, though, like, I can't figure it out. Like, why is this place so successful? It was awesome going in there. Like, I walked out of there going, I the experience lived up to everything that they said. I listen to Nick Wilson talk about it all the time. And I'm like, what is going on here? There's something psychological about that place that they have totally figured out. And, I mean, it was packed. It was absolutely packed. And I'm just like, I don't get it. I don't understand this. Why is this way?
Because if you do something well and you do it right, people will show up. I mean, I think that's just the story of everything. It's like, if you do this well and you do it correctly, people will come far and wide to see it done well and done right and not feel like a gross gas station.
I don't know. Well done. I give you credit. You lived up to all the hype that I've ever heard about you, Buc-ee's, and I can't wait till if we get one up here. Dayton's getting one. That's right. Because Dayton's up and running.
I think that's what you're telling me.
Dayton was the one that I heard is the next one. So
they're finding their way north.
I salute you. I salute you, Buc-ee's. I salute you. I can't believe it. But if you get it, you get it. Albert Breer yesterday, let's get back to the Browns here. We were talking about whether this was if for some reason they should move on from Kevin Stefanski, would this be a job that would garner a ton of interest from other, obviously it's one of 32. It's not easy to get a job in this league. And I get all that stuff, but would you be able to go out and get your first choice? I don't necessarily know that if you were head coach and you had two choices, I don't know if you're taking the Browns gig. I just don't know if you are because of all the variables, because of the quarterback situation, because of the offensive line situation, because of the way the wide receivers look right now. And so, you know, I started looking at some of the names that are kind of out there for people who would be candidates for the job. And, first of all, I think it'd be really easy to promote Jim Schwartz. The defense has been successful. That's the question. Does he want it?
I don't think he wants it. I think he would have had enough opportunities in between to go get some head coaching jobs. And I wonder if it's just a mix of his health and then maybe doing it with the Lions and looking around going, this mess ain't for me. These press conferences are not meant for me. Once a week, I do story time with the media, and then I coach the defense.
It's the clock, right? It's the clock. And it's like, once you take the job, you just got hired to get fired. And it doesn't matter who you are. Not many coaches get to walk out on their own terms. So it doesn't happen.
You're right. You're 100% right. Well, a lot of us are that way. I mean, especially, and the players as well. Very often the players don't get to walk out on their own terms either. People just stop calling. I wonder, and maybe this is a deeper conversation for later in the show that I should put in my pocket. I wonder if Ben Johnson has changed a lot of this. So by Ben Johnson, for those of you who don't know, he was the former offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions when the Lions were cranking about 2 years ago. Their last like 3 years, I should say, before this season. But he was a head coaching candidate that a lot of people were circling, and he was interviewing, for these jobs, and he was turning them down and going back to being an OC with Dan Campbell until he got the job that best fit what he wanted, which was the Chicago Bears.
Right.
Because he actually then had a quarterback. He had wide receivers. He was able to build up the offensive line because they had cap space and a defense in decent enough shape. And it made me wonder, because it was the first time I remembered, and I might be wrong, and if I'm off, please get at us at CLE Talking Heads, at the Sports Feller on Twitter as well. A guy who didn't have a proven track record truly interviewing teams themselves to see if he could fit in there and be good for an extended period of time. I don't remember another coach who didn't have head coaching experience do that same thing. Like, I don't remember Kyle Shanahan doing that with the Niners, where he was
Was it just Washington, though?
It was Kyle Shanahan with the Niners. It was probably the last one I can remember.
But was it? It was just the Commanders, wasn't it? I know he turned down Washington. I remember that.
So he turned down Washington. He interviewed with, he interviewed with the Saints, I think. I believe he interviewed with the Seahawks. Everybody wanted to talk to him. And he turned them all down and said, I'm going back one more year to Detroit because these situations are not built in a way where I think I could be successful. And I wonder if we start seeing more and more of that in the head coaching ranks of these guys going, you know, I'm pretty happy as the DC, as the OC here. I'm pretty happy as the DC here. If these situations are built in a way that could help me best, why would I take the risk of being fired and unemployed and having to move my family again?
I think back and, you know, like Caleb Williams. Did you see what Caleb Williams had said about Ben Johnson after the Bears won? What was that?
No, I was very grumpy.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. You probably were. He said...
I was grumpy. I didn't want to listen to anything.
He told the score there, I've got the best coach in the world. Let's just put it that way. We have the best coaching staff in the world. So when you put the talent with the coaches and people that care, you can strive for anything. You can reach anything. You can go after any goal. And when you go out there on the football field, your belief is that you're at all-time high between players, coaches, and you have outcomes like this. This was after the Packers game.
Why do I feel like that is like... framed somewhere except coach's teacher, and it's like some like 40-year-old teacher that's been at a school forever that has that above his desk or her desk or their desk.
I feel like I'm at Kirtland.
That could be.
I feel like we just walked out of Tiger Laverty's office.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, I get it. You know, you hear players say he's the best coach in the world, you know, and that's why they have success and that's why they're able to do stuff like that. I just don't know how. I don't know how sexy our job is, let's be honest with you. And I'm still not 100% convinced that the Haslams are going to move on. So, all right, let me take one phone call here real quick, and then I want to play some other stuff. Don's in Cleveland. Hi, Don.
How are you, Don?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Of course, man.
In terms of the first, your opening segment there, talk about Stefanski.
Yeah.
I've always been a critic of his in terms of, I think he's always been an overrated play caller. Example here is this past weekend, we get the ball back in that last drive and first and 10, and you can go down the field and win the game, and he calls a reverse. You can't call that play there. You've shown that reverse twice already in that game. You have no momentum on that drive because it's first play of the drive. Those kind of things.
Now, did he call it or did he approve it?
Yeah, I was going to say, not to be that dude, but Tommy Reese was the one who put that play call in.
Right. Either way, it's a bad play call, and he's head coach. So at the end of the day, Stefanski is tough because he's got two Coach of the Year awards, and he deserved both of them. But in the grand scheme of things, his overall resume does not look so great, and he's made a lot of mistakes, and he leaves you scratching your head. And I like to compare him to Tomlin, even though they're two completely opposable personalities, because Tomlin's resume is similar to Stefanski's in this regard. He hasn't done anything in a long time. He's completely overrated. Tomlin's not a bad coach. He's not a great coach. Stefanski's not a horrible coach. He's not a great coach. So the way I look at it is simply you can end up with a worse coach than Stefanski, and you have to kind of look at it like the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And since they've got some young talent on offense now, except for the line, and he's making Shador look okay, I almost think you got to give the guy almost like a year-by-year lease, and keep them around.
All right, Don, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Happy holidays to you. You know, what is the difference between a great coach and a mediocre coach? You know, we always have this argument about the Patriots, right? Was it Tom Brady or was it Bill Belichick? Was it Tom or Bill? So even a guy that had more success than anybody else, you know, people want to say, well, it was Tom Brady. Well, or do people want to say Tom Brady became Tom Brady because of Bill? So I think we all have our own definition to that. All right, Albert Breer had some other things that I really want you to hear again. And so we're going to play those when we come back here in a second. 216-474-0092.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He is Dan Menigan. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. I want to do a social experiment with you here.
Oh, no.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, we've talked about this ad nauseum over the last couple of weeks. So I've got, you know, a fractured bone in my shoulder after taking a spill on the ice.
Yes, major
from coaching. Yeah. So I should be wearing my sling right now.
Yes.
And, like, the last 2 days, I don't know. It's like I need it, but I don't need it. And it's like, and I know that Doc is not going to be happy with me when he finds out that I haven't been wearing the sling as much as I should be.
Why are you outing yourself on the
right? Because you know why? Because here's the social experiment. Okay, so one of the reasons he said to wear the sling wasn't only just to make sure that you're healing, right? But so that people don't touch your arm. You have no idea how often someone touches your arm to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
Like I never once thought about this. So like I accidentally left it at my mom's house because we were cleaning some stuff up. I took it off for a little bit. My arm was just, I just needed it. Cause there's also rehab going on there. Cause there's some muscle stuff going on too. So rotator cuff stuff. So, you know, and so you're still, you got to do some physical therapy while you're doing this. So you take the sling off for that. But like, you don't realize how many people touch your arm throughout the day. And he had said to me, he goes, you're going to want to wear it. Not only because, and it's also to remind you that you have a broken arm.
Yeah. So
that but also said no one touches it. And so today, as I got in the car and didn't pick it up, and I should have grabbed it from my mom's house, but I forgot to go get it again this morning because I was late as usual. I've had like five people just, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, okay, hey, it's good to see you too. But then I cringe. I still like 2 days after it happened, Ken Carman came up to me and I had the brace on and I was wearing something. I had like a black jacket on and the brace was black. And he was like, hey, what's going on? And he's like one of those. And you're like, ah,
uh-huh. You don't realize it until someone hits it. It's yeah, like, ooh,
Ken felt horrible. Although now I'm at the point now where as long as you don't hit me in the arm and you know, it's like some people just put their hand on your shoulder. Like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, and so that doesn't hurt. So, like, Coach Riz did it to me this morning when he was walking out, and I was waiting. I was waiting for the pain, and the pain wasn't there. So,
what is it? It's the same thing you go through with prescription medicine, where they tell you you should fulfill the entire prescription. Don't stop taking it just because you feel better. And I would think the sling falls under the same category.
Probably. I'm sure I'm going to get some ortho's going to call me this morning and say, why don't you wear the, what are you doing? Well, I just, it's hard to move a mouse.
That's on you
it's
for bringing it up on the air.
I don't care. Do you think I ever care? I'll talk about anything with anybody at any time.
I'm aware of such things.
Within reason, you know?
I'm aware of such things, but it's kind of, you know, that whole, if you want to make sure you don't get in trouble, don't be the one who brings it up.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
If you want to make sure your mom doesn't see the report card, make sure that you're not the one going, hey, mom, report cards came out.
Hey, you know, I can make that F look like an A. It just looks a little bit, you know, all you gotta do is drop that one line down there and it's an A, just in case you're wondering, right?
The great Homer Simpson line, son, a D turns into a B so easily. You just got greedy.
All right, what else did Albert Breer have to say yesterday on the afternoon drive?
Well, he also brought up the fact of Andrew Berry and the safety of Andrew Berry.
I don't know if it's 100%, you know, because again, like, I think the reason I always hesitate with that stuff is because it's like, okay, like, well, what level of coach are you looking for, right? Are you looking for a young guy? Are you looking to hit a home run? Are you looking for Andrew Berry to be intimately involved in the coaching search? Is ownership going to run the coaching search? I think Andrew would have a voice in a coaching search if there is one. So, like, I think this thing can take on different forms. And, you know, we've seen before where teams have come out of Black Monday with a general manager intact and a coach gone, and then that changes. I don't think the plan right now is to walk away from Andrew Berry, but I think, you know, what his role in this is and kind of what the structure of the organization looks like coming out of this, all that is still to be determined.
Still up in the air. Maybe it's not as – there are a lot of people saying – he's safe. He's safe because of the draft. The thing that hovers over my head with Andrew Berry is, why did he not say a word after trading the quarterbacks?
Do you want to know why? Do you want the real reason why?
Yeah, give me the, if you know the real reason why.
I know the real reason why.
Okay, give it to me.
Because he didn't have to. That's the real reason, because he didn't have to. If he would have, if they would have said to him, you need to go talk to the media about what took place here,
yeah,
we would have a completely different narrative. But there was nothing that said, you need to go talk to the media. And they haven't understood in Berea what the Guardians have learned long ago, which is that, yeah, your general manager doesn't have to be available, but boy, it makes things a lot easier and easier to control a narrative if your general manager is the one who walks out and goes, yeah, we've decided to move on from this particular player in a trade. We think it betters our roster. It gives our young guys a better opportunity to come up and succeed.
I just think it's a bad look when a GM doesn't do this, because now you're dumping every question about a trade or movement with a player on the head coach and your players. Because now the players have to answer questions for a move that the general manager made. Why would you do that to your players?
Our social media mentions are powered by Scheibe Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And you can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads, at The Sports Feller on Twitter as well. Real Xavier P on this one. Did you have surgery on it? Because if so, you've got to keep that thing.
I did not have surgery. No.
Okay. You avoided surgery?
Yeah.
He goes, I had the similar injury from a fall. And he goes, I had to get surgery on it, and I needed to go. You got to go through everything with painkillers, sling, all that stuff, or else you're going to be right back in the same situation. So see, now you're getting yelled at. I guess that's not yelling. X doesn't really yell all that often.
No, he's just telling me what he, but I did not have surgery. No, it was a clean, there, nothing was displaced in the shoulder.
Okay.
So it's just, I've seen the x-rays, and I've seen the, I didn't have an MRI, because we all know insurance doesn't want to pay for an MRI, kids. You got to go to PT first. Just so you know that, all you got to get a CT before you can do that even too. So.
Andy, I think that's what it is I don't think he had to speak, so he didn't speak. Because if you look around the rest of the NFL, you don't see these GMs become available very often to the media. Like, you don't see quotes like, I'm a nerd and probably need to go outside and get more fresh air than I do. But I follow beat reporters from every single team in the NFL. And it is rare, few, and far between that you see any GM come out and talk to the media outside of at the combine and before the draft and when the season ends. Those are like the three times. But during the season itself, boy, you rarely see the general manager talking to the media. They send the head coach out there as essentially the, you know, White House press secretary.
He has gone out and spoke before.
Right. He used to do it. It's why it was so shocking when he didn't do it, is because we were so used to him at the bye week going, all right, I come out at the bye week and we get this done. And I answer these questions and we control the narrative. And at least give, and I know a lot of you are going to laugh when I say this, give a little bit of information to the fan base as well as to what is going on behind the scenes.
I agree. I just don't, because it didn't make any sense. The whole thing didn't make any sense. And I just, and this is why, another reason why people may not like Kevin is that your general manager may have set him up, because he doesn't have the answers for why they traded Joe Flacco, and he shouldn't.
Right.
So you've set, you put your head coach in a bad spot by doing that. And you put your players in a bad spot, because now they're answering questions for you. If you're going to, the quintessential movement of a general manager is a trade, isn't it?
Yes.
It is the, you know, it's.
Or a signing.
Kind of, yeah.
Any kind of roster move. Andy, I don't get it.
Like, I don't get it either.
Like, if an organization trades a quarterback, and especially a quarterback who had started games for you in that particular season, you would probably come out and explain why you're doing what you're doing and explain the direction that it's going. And it can only help you. Instead of sending your head coach out there to go, well, you know, that's really not my department. I just kind of coach the players who are in front of me. Well, that's great, and we understand that that's your job. But that's not the answer any of us are looking for. You know, it would be the equivalent of a company getting sold, and instead of the CEO coming out to talk to the stockholders as to why the company was sold, they sent out the janitor. You know, I mean, it's like, the company got sold, and I mean, I have a role inside of this company, but I kind of only do what I'm told to do inside of here. I don't know, really have the answers you're looking for. I've always felt bad for Kevin Stefanski in that regard. Because you're right. It should be Andrew Berry. It should be Glenn Cook. It should be Catherine Raich. It should be somebody from the front office who was out there instead going, here's why we did this. We couldn't pass up a fifth round pick. It's something that we could use to help build our roster. We could package, maybe be able to package together a couple of them, move up into later rounds and get some more guys that can help this roster and reset the timeline into a window of contention. Boom. We all would have went, all right, well, I guess I don't agree, but hell, it is an answer. But instead they went with nothing.
And so this is why another reason why I think that things went sideways between Andrew and Kevin. Now, what we're hearing, though, lately is that everything seems to be that they seem to be okay, right? Of all the interviews we've done over the last couple of weeks, of all the people that we've talked to, it feels like maybe they're on the same page. It's not contentious. Maybe I'm wrong.
But we don't know. I listen to the show every single day. Have we asked people that?
What?
If there is some level of contention between the two of them?
Do you think there is? I think Kevin has reason to.
I think Kevin has reason to as well.
If it was contentious and he wanted it to be, I would support him in that.
If I was a head coach and you traded away my veteran quarterback, I'd be a little grumpy. I mean, I would definitely be walking into the office going, what are we doing here? Especially when I got two rookies on the roster that I'm attempting to get acclimated to the NFL. And while I don't want my, veteran quarterback to be quote unquote coach on the field, it is kind of nice to have somebody there with some level of accomplishment that these rookie quarterbacks can emulate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least say what you will. Joe Flacco could drop a Super Bowl ring down on a table. And the minute that medal and those diamonds hit that table, people pay attention. And especially young kids.
Yeah, they say that's the reason Pat Riley got LeBron when they had their big meetings.
Be really nice when if you had that guy instead of sending that guy out the door.
All right, let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Albert Breer. Also, there was a story about quarterbacks and who could be the possible quarterback for the Browns next year. We'll get to that. Tim May coming up at noon. Chris Rose at 1. Baskin and Phelps. Dan Menigan is in today. 216-474-0092.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.